Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have Aphrodite!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody doing? We're getting towards the end of the year. That was an easy year, right? Right? Oh my God. It felt like 10 years. It was like dog years, right? A mess. So I figure what we'll do in this episode is we'll sort of project out as to what we think we see coming for 2022. Then we can, years later, we can go back and look at how wrong I was on all of these predictions, how absolutely idiotic my ideas were. But I'm fine with that. I don't have a crystal ball. You don't have a crystal ball, as far as I know. So what we're left with is taking the information that we currently have about the situation, the knowledge base that we have about what's going on in the, you know, in the science world and politics and money and all that. And we have to extrapolate out where we think things are headed. And, you know, look, spoiler alert, I don't think it's a good place. I don't think it's going to be unicorns and rainbows in 2022. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope some, you know, maybe we'll get hit by a comet, right? Maybe we'll just sort this all out all at once, right? Maybe that's what we're going to do. If we do get hit by the comet, then you're probably not going to give a shit about my new sponsor, but I'm going to tell you about them just in case the 2022 comet misses us by a couple hundred miles. And that is, the new company is called Helin 951. It's spelled a little funny. It's pronounced Helin. It's spelled HAELAN951.com/macro. You can go there, take a look at the landing page that they built for me, and I got to read it to you because it's funny. They asked me for a quote. And I said, I love learning about natural ways to get and stay healthy. If you're looking for a great product with years of research and proven results, check out Helin 951. Fair warning, the taste is not great. Then it says Charlie. And that is true. The taste is not great. This is a fermented soy drink. And I know what you're thinking. A fermented soy drink. That sounds delicious. Of course, you're not thinking that because nobody in their right mind would be thinking that. But it turns out that this stuff, though it does taste kind of, you know, not the greatest, it is really beneficial for you. I didn't know anything about this until they reached out and they said, hey, look, read up on it. Read up on what fermented soybeans do to you. I thought, oh, God, I mean, fermented soybeans, it just sounds disgusting. And they said, yeah, that's right. Once you get past that, and you read about the immune support, the anti-inflammatory components of it. It's good for your gut. It's an energy booster. It's a detoxification. And so I looked into it and to see what this company was doing. They only have like three products, right? They don't have like a ton of stuff. It's like this liquid fermented soy beverage. And what you realize is that what they've done is something a little bit different. They go to, it sounds like a marketing gimmick until you find out that it's all 100% true, but they get these soybeans from this region in Mongolia. And it's got like the right topography, the right elevation. It's the right, you know, altitude, all that stuff. And these soybeans grow there. They harvest them. They get them back to the United States. And that's what they use for their products. And I asked him, I said, listen, man, I've done like 50 episodes where I am just destroying all these soy boys out there. I can't be selling soy based products if I'm simultaneously, you know, making fun of the soy boys. And he's like, well, hang on a second. He's like, let me just explain to you why this is different. It's completely different from the garbage soy that people in America are eating. First of all, he said, soy isn't bad, provided that you have a quality crop, you have fermentation, and you have organic growing. He said, plus, the United States has got awful soil. We know that. And the growing standards are very weird, unlike Mongolia. We're heavily into pesticides and GMOs and all that. All of that is what contributes to the soy boy thing. But I asked him, he said, no. He goes, when you get the right stuff and you ferment it, you do it the right way organically, you bypass all of that. So, and he's also then threw in, go tell some of my MMA clients that it's soy boy stuff. See what they have to think about it. So, all right. Okay. I get you. I hear you. So look, it's something that it's worth reading up on. That's like, you're never going to get a hard sell from me. I'll be honest with you. God, I couldn't tell you it tastes great. And then have you guys buy it and go, oh my God, this stuff tastes like Jägermeister. Listen, we've all had Jägermeister, right? And you usually make bad decisions after drinking that. The good news with this is it tastes better than Jägermeister, and you're not going to make bad decisions. So go to the website, read up on it, see if you think it's right for you. HAELAN951.com/macro. I'm going to put a link in the description so you can get to it from there, but it's pronounced Helan 951. And they sent me the products. I've been taking them for a couple weeks now. All good. And a special thank you to our other new sponsor, True Hemp Science. I swear to God, after all these sponsors, I'm going to be like indestructible. I'm going to live to be 200 years. I'm going to live to be as old as George Soros. God willing, I don't have to be look like him, hopefully. Not if I'm taking all this stuff. So go check out truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. That's the landing page they built for us, man. They are making the best CBD out there. It's a small little company based in Austin, Texas. The products that I've been taking the number 19 and the number 41. These are, they're little oils. You literally just drop a couple drops on your tongue and that's it. Takes 2 seconds. Works really well. If you spend $65 or more, they'll give you a free bottle of number 81 distillate. It's a $26 value. They'll give you free shipping on anything over $150. You still have time to buy some of this and send it out for Christmas gifts. It's really working. I keep talking about my stupid left shoulder, but that's the one part of me that I feel pretty good everywhere else, but this left shoulder has been just an issue for me for a while. So that was kind of my secret, that was my secret thing to see if this was going to actually work. If it made my shoulder feel better, then I knew it worked, and it has made my shoulder feel better. So man, that's about all I could ask for it. So if you're interested, again, just take a look, truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. The link will be in the description if you can't remember it, if you're driving around, just take a look and see. I think they're making the best hemp-based CBD out there. It's really phenomenal. So take a look. Use macro as in the checkout on your way out and save yourself some money. All right. So are we ready? Are we ready for the insanity of what 2022 may or may not be bringing to us? I describe it as the year of chaos. I don't think that's the official Chinese zodiac name for it, but I think that that's what we're going to get. I don't like saying that. I don't like putting that out into the universe. I'm not in, you know, I don't want it to be that way. I want it to be peaceful. I want it to be boring. I want it to be, you know, a time where we can kind of get our feet underneath us and start to feel like we can make plans. If you're a business owner, you feel like you can make business plans. Right now, where we are is like how can you plan anything? Like how can you plan a vacation somewhere, right? If you're inclined to go on a vacation, let's say you're planning spring break, right? In a couple months, and you're like, I'm going to go, I don't know, I'm going to go to Mexico, or I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go to Hawaii. Really? Are you? Like, how do you know? Like, what are the mask requirements? What are the vaccination requirements? What are the quarantining? Do you need this? Do you need that? I mean, if you're somebody that's like, I'm fully masked up and I've got 18 vaccines and I'm good to go, well, then for you, it's like you go wherever you want. But that's probably not this audience. And so I feel like you can't really plan. And that's a shitty place to be. Personally, it's a bad place. It's bad professionally as well. You're trying to, you know, businesses have to extrapolate out like where they see things going in the next couple years. Man, who knows? So like if I want to do a, you know, a 2016 predictions on what's going to happen in 2017, that's not all that difficult. But from 2021 to 2022, though just, you know, days away, It is increasingly more difficult to try to predict the future because everything is so up in the air. So, but let's start with the money component to this, right? Let's just, we got to pick a place to start. So let's start with the money side. What do we see happening? Well, unfortunately, this is going to be the year of the CBDC, the central bank digital currency. It's coming, and it's not like crypto, and it's not just like Bitcoin, and it's not any of those things. It's everything that's bad about the United States dollar. But then imagine if Bill Gates was in charge of programming that dollar to make it do whatever he wanted it to do. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Gates is behind CBDCs, but you know, a tech guy with bad intentions. And is there a bigger tech guy with bad intentions than Bill Gates? I don't know. It might be a race, a contest between a couple of them. But my money is on old Bill. And the CBDCs are coming. And these are, we've talked about this before in previous episodes where you talk about how you've got a programmable digital currency. Now, much unlike Bitcoin, where Bitcoin is capped at 21 million coins, or something like Monero is capped at 17.4 million coins, you've got a limit, right? And that allows you to know what the total circulation, when everything is fully mined and minted, what that total circulation will be, and you know that if you've got your Bitcoin, right, and you're like, well, there's only going to be 21 million of them, and then someone comes along and says, yeah, well, we've changed the rules, we're now going to add 300 million more, and you're like, what the fuck, like, you've just diluted my coin. That's what we experience on a daily basis with the US dollar. And that's one of the nice things of some of the cryptos, not all of them, obviously, some of them like trillions of coins out there, you know, but for the ones that are capped in terms of supply, the reason why those are appealing is because they can't be fucked with anymore. So central bank digital currencies most definitely can be. And what you can do is you can get in there and set them to a whole different, like almost unlimited data points, right? To different criteria. You can say, well, this coin will only work if your social credit score is above a 6 or something or whatever, or that you've had all your shots and your social credit score, which is tied into your vaccine records and everything, shows that you've had all the proper boosters, and now your CBDC coin will work, right? But if you don't have all of it, then it's set to notice that and turn itself off, right? So that is alarming. That's how they can like shut you off, right? So we understand why they would love it. The perfect tool, right? Programmable money. Holy shit. You can make it disappear. You can make it expire. You can say, like, we've had a horrible Christmas season, you know, nobody was out buying anything. gee, I wonder why. And revenue is down across the board, and this big, you know, the numbers came out and revenue looks bad. And then you get President Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or one of these puppets out there saying, well, you know, it's been a rough year. Jen Psaki would probably be the one delivering this bad news. Well, everyone, it's been a great year, you know, as she lies through her teeth. But we've decided that the revenues from Christmas weren't really what we were looking for. They were about 30% less. So what we've decided to do is we've made an adjustment to the current, the CBDC, the, let's just call it the Fed coin. And now your Fed coin is going to expire in 90 days. So you might want to get to spending it, you know, while it's still worth something. And then they generate money velocity that way, right? They generate revenue. They, oh, look, sales. Oh, what do you know? Sales are through the roof. Yeah, of course sales are through the roof. Everyone's buying something because they know that it was going to be, their currency is going to be worth nothing in a cup after, you know, on the 91st day. So in that sort of scenario, you have a recipe for disaster when you let central bankers, who are the worst people in the world, be in charge of a programmable currency. So I would expect that. And so as a component of that, or a sort of a subset of that, I would expect bank runs. I would expect people that are paying attention, that the early ones, like this audience already knows, they probably don't have all that much money in the bank. Maybe some of you don't have all that much money just in general. So hopefully 2022 will be better in terms of that. But if you are in a position where you have a lot of money and it is in the bank, you might want to consider putting it somewhere else. You might want to consider getting it into gold and silver. You might want to consider putting it into some crypto. You might want to buy land. You might want to just change it. Change it from holding your wealth in a Federal Reserve note, which is hyperinflating away, or at least inflating away, but more than likely hyperinflating away at some point, and changing it, exchanging it for something else. We've talked about this. We've talked about gold coins, silver bars, things like that. Tony Ordeburn, our friend and sponsor over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, he can help you out if you are thinking, well, maybe I want to at least, you know, maybe I'm not a huge gold or silver guy, but he does make a point where I could keep all of my wealth in these depreciating assets known as Federal Reserve notes, or I could at least trade those while they still have some value, trade them for something else. And maybe the something else won't go down in value. And hey, wouldn't it be great if it went up in value instead? In fact, it probably will go up in value, not because it's actually more valuable, but because it will take more Federal Reserve notes over time to buy it. So therefore, the price will look like it's going up. But more than anything, gold and silver has just been a place where you can park your money so that it doesn't get whittled away by inflation. So if you're interested in contacting Tony, go to www.macroaggressions.gold, and he built a site there. You got a contact page, and you can call him directly. He'll pick up. It's just, you know, it's a small business, man. It's just him. He's in the Ozarks running this great gold and silver mine operation, or not mine operation, but silver shop, when he's not co-hosting or filling in for David Knight. You know, David Knight, who was at InfoWars, when David Knight goes on vacation, Tony fills in for him. So at least, you know, you'd be buying gold and silver from someone that's sort of aligned in our philosophies. He's not here for any of the bullshit. But I think in 2022 you're going to see crypto. Welcome to the big time. Now, we thought 2021 that happened when things kind of went through the roof, tail end of 2020, early in 2021, Bitcoin spiked pretty hard, Ethereum went crazy, NFTs got onto the scene, people started to recognize crypto. They might not have understood it, but they at least recognized the name, they knew what it meant. I mean, well, look, we're in a new era where the Staples Center in Los Angeles, where the Lakers and Kings and Clippers all play, which had that name Staples Center for since it was built 20 years ago, it is now crypto.com. It is no longer the Staples Center. FTX is big. They've got Tom Brady as a spokesman. You've got Matt Damon doing ads for crypto.com. It's mainstream. It's becoming mainstream. So If you are interested in understanding more about that, there's plenty of guests I've had on the show. I was lucky enough to write a book with Jeff Berwick from The Dollar Vigilante and Crypto Vigilante. So I picked up a little bit just listening to those guys. I know just enough about crypto to be dangerous, so don't take my advice on it or anything like that. I know what I know the coins I like. I like privacy coins. I like coins that have limited capacity, so Bitcoin and Monero, things like that. I like. There's thousands of coins. You can make yourself insane trying to do it. It becomes like the stock market or like the tulip mania and things like that. So be very, very careful with all that stuff. But educate yourself about it, because it's not going away. It's not going away. It's going to show up in the central bank digital currencies. It's going to show up as Bitcoin makes its rise. It's going to show up as Ethereum and components of Bitcoin start to be used for decentralized finance, smart contracts, all this stuff. It's here to stay. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you buried your head and said, oh, all that stuff is just a little too technical for me. Believe me, it's all technical for me, and it's not my strong suit. But I've forced myself to try to learn a little bit about it. So I think you should probably do the same. So inflation, let's talk about that since we're on the money topic. Inflation is transitory, everybody, don't you know? Which means it's here today and gone tomorrow. Except that it's not. Except that it's most definitely not going away. See, for inflation to go away, the Federal Reserve would have to first want inflation to go away, which they don't. Their job is to inflate the money supply. That's what they do. So the idea that the Fed is going to get a hold of inflation, that's silliness. Don't believe that. But it is, I don't know that they want it to hyperinflate. Like Weimar Republic, right? The Germany back, 100 years ago, where the wheelbarrow's filled with cash and all that stuff. But, if they don't want that, they certainly are doing all the wrong things, because when you print 40% of all dollars into existence in 2020 alone, like, you're basically asking for inflation. You're fucking asking for hyperinflation. The fact that we haven't had hyperinflation is probably just due to some sorts of tricks and tactics and suppressing the the true number of Federal Reserve notes in existence, which, who would even know at this point, right? Talk about the $21 trillion missing that Catherine Austin Fitz has written about and everything. It's like, how would we even know how much money is in existence? I'm sure somebody knows, but they're not telling us. So be very careful with the inflation. It's going to make everything get increasingly more expensive. Obviously, you've watched it now. But if you think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to fix anything, obviously, you'd have to have your head examined. That's not happening. So get ready for that. The Biden administration has announced that in February of 2022, that student loans, that hiatus that they put them on, the student loan repayments are going to kick back in. Listen, if you've got student loans, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the fact that there's a segment of the population that actually thought that Joe Biden, when he said, I'm going to make $50,000 of student loans go away. I mean, I'm going to make it so that your interest rates are low. I mean, I'm going to make it so that I'm just going to put a moratorium on you paying it for a while. Okay, well, all that stuff is done, and now your student loans are due again in February. So once again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you've been had. If you believe these politicians, and of all the politicians to not believe, when it comes to doing something for the credit card, student loan, banking industry, the one guy who has literally built his entire career taking money from the credit card industries and the student loan industries that are based in the state of Delaware is Joe Biden. If you thought for a second that Joe Biden was going to screw over his most important people, and I'm obviously not talking about the voters, I'm talking about his donors, then you don't know how this game is played. And you got fooled. You've been had. Oh, yeah. home prices are going to go higher as inflation soars, which is great, I guess, if you own a home. But the reason why prices are going higher is because BlackRock is buying everything. And the reason why they're buying everything is because they're connected to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve has said, we got all the money that you need. You guys go out and do the acquisition. We'll finance it. So why are they buying all these houses? They were buying, you know, when I was writing that transition from like the good time to the bad time in Las Vegas real estate, when it got to be the bad, bad time where sales were really down, nobody was building anything. The REO agents that I knew, the guys that had like big portfolios that I would talk to, say like, what have you got? And they say, we don't have anything. I go, wait, what? Why don't you have anything? And say, man, Goldman Sachs vulture funds in here just picking up everything that we've got. And there's, and city groups too. And I was like, oh shit, really? And he's like, yeah, man, they'll just take like the, they'll just say, look at the spreadsheet and say, we'll take them all. And you're like, oh, okay. So that was my first, that was like 2010, maybe 2009. Yeah. 2000, somewhere in that area. That was when I first got introduced to the fact that the banks will go in and buy up like subdivisions sight unseen. They just don't care. But what they were doing is different. They were sticking renters in there, putting them in for, you know, years and years, and then selling them off. I don't think they're going to sell them this time around. I think the strategy has changed. I think with BlackRock involved, I think what they're doing is buying these homes so that nobody else will ever be able to own anything. I think it's part of the Build Back Better program. I think it's the you'll own nothing and be happy sort of thing. Now, it's a long-term plan. In order to buy all the homes from all the people that currently own homes, it takes a while. But these guys take a long-term approach to this. They've got you know, they've got the government backing them. They've got the Fed backing them. They've got you know, they've got all this stuff. They've got everything that they need to keep the scam going for decades. So even if it takes them 40 years to acquire almost all the homes in America from the plebs, they'll do it. Right. And so that's what we have. So expect home prices to go higher, but it'll be more of a function of inflation and the, and depending on where you live, obviously. I mean, like BlackRock's influence in the big cities, they'll be buying, they'll be continuing to buy things up. You're going to see prices of land in places like Texas and Colorado and Tennessee and Florida and places, you know, like, skyrocket. I would think that land, especially land that has water rights or land that has any sort of riparian rights, like anything agriculturally related. If you've got, you know, a peach farm, or you've got, you know, you just have a great piece of land where lots of food grows, that is going to be in high demand. But especially if you've got the water, not just the water underneath it, you've got to have the rights to the water underneath it too. So all of those things are good places. We talked about, you know, like where to put your money. Well, put your money in some land, put your money in productive farmland, put your money in land that generates something. You know, we had Jim Gale on the show and he talked about food, you know, his company, Food Forest Abundance. He just sent me over this clip, the trailer for the new show that he's doing. It's him with Adrian Grenier from Entourage, and they're building out this farm at Adrian's house. I'm not really sure where it is, but it looked like it was out in the country somewhere, and it was really cool. But this idea of growing your own food, and look, we aren't the only ones thinking about it. There's a lot of people out there thinking. Obviously, we know Bill Gates is thinking about it. They're buying up farmland. I just saw that Rupert Murdoch bought a 340,000 acre ranch in Wyoming. So look, these fuckers are out there trying to get their hands on as much land as possible. You should beat them to it. Buy something in your area so that they can't. Look, we got to expect supply chain disruptions, right? More of this stuff. I wish we didn't. I wish it wasn't a thing, but it is. So that's going to be an issue. I think that the price of electricity, the price of power in general, is going to go up. You're going to see rolling blackouts in places like California and New York City, all manufactured of course, you know, power grid failures. Hell, we saw that last year in Texas. You know, what can happen when you have just an outage of the power grid just for a couple of days? It creates massive chaos. So start thinking about stuff like that. You know, do what you can to anticipate higher electric bills, higher gas prices. And according to Rachel Maddow, Russia is going to turn off our natural gas supply so that they can kill us all. So you get that to look forward to. All right, let's transition into something more fun, like COVID. Boy, they are riding this horse as long as they can. And it seems like the wheels are coming off the narrative, but that makes me a little bit more nervous because it means that they're dangerous, that they're willing to try anything, that the insanity is going to get ramped up. So I expect some bad things on our horizon. Not because I think the virus is actually going to kill everyone. And no. I think that it's the response to the virus. You know how like they say the cover up is worse than the crime. I feel like the response to COVID is going to be infinitely worse than COVID itself. Right. So expect, you know, we're already starting to see, soccer players in Europe dropping like flies, man. It sucks. I just did a show. We just did our Union of the Unwanted show a couple nights ago. And we had Dr. Peter McCullough on. And obviously, he's like everywhere. We just coincidentally timed it. So his Rogan episode hit that morning. And then he was on with us that night. And I asked him straight up. I said, look, is it reasonable for me to think that there's an issue with all of these soccer players dropping dead? And he said, yes, it's reasonable to think there is an issue. And I knew the answer to that question before I asked it. Being a former college level soccer player myself, I understand that we didn't just drop dead from things like that. I said, so is it reasonable for us to make the leap, Dr. McCullough, that the vaccines are a contributing factor to this? And he said, yes, you are. It is reasonable to make that leap. I'll take it a step further. It is the vaccines that are causing it. And he said, here's why. He said, before these professional athletes are granted the ability to go on to the team each year, they have to pass it physical. They have to be physically cleared in order to do that. Most of the times it's no problem, but it might be that, you know, some guy's got like a, you know, he's coming off a stress fracture of his foot and it hasn't healed properly. And so before the season starts, they, you know, x-ray it and they say, you know, they deem him like medically, you know, not cleared to participate and everything. So he says the same thing happens. They give everybody an EKG, all these players EKGs, because what they're looking for is a specific type of issue. And he mentioned the name. It was a technical name. I don't remember what it was, but it was some particular issue. He says they're looking for that. If you have that, you're going to be medically held out. You won't be cleared to join the team. So we're always looking for that. If we find that, you can't play. If we don't find it, we consider that to be a good sign. So he says, it's not like these guys aren't tested. They're tested every year. They're given EKGs every year to manage this. The one thing that has changed has been the vaccine. So we're starting to see that happen. We've got, you know, we've got X players dropping dead. We've got, you know, Demaryius Thomas here in Denver may or may not have suffered from the vaccine. You know, he was 33 years old, dying in his shower from a heart issue. It hasn't been announced that it was vaccine related. It probably won't be announced whether it was. So I'm obviously sort of speculating here. Either way, it's a damn shame. He was, by all accounts, a good guy. You hate to see that for anybody, but it's becoming undeniable that there is a problem with the vaccines and the athletes, right? There's going to be a problem with the vaccines, a bigger problem with them and children. As these things become undeniable, makes me start to think of the SPARS pandemic document of 2017 that we've talked about a few times here. It makes me think that in that document, in that fictional document, it becomes undeniable that the vaccines are responsible for that. So
when I first talked about that, and we had Mike Halpern on here from InfoWars talking about that, when I said, well, in that fictional document, the vaccines roll out, and then about 9 months later, all the bad stuff starts. And I said, that's going to be like end of November, December 2021. Well, here we are. We're in it, right? So now we're in that fictional time frame in the SPARS pandemic document where things start to get weird and it becomes undeniable that the vaccine was a contributing factor to it. And then the people rise up and they throw the Faucis out in the gates and these characters, you know, the chief medical guys, the head of the CDC, the head of the FDA, all these people are removed in this fictional document. So will we see that? Well, we're already starting to see pushback on Fauci. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. put out a new Fauci book. If you want to hear a great interview with it on it, go to the Higher Side Chats. Go hear Greg Carlwood's interview with him. It's about an hour long. It's free. It's not behind the paywall, but please consider supporting Greg's work. It's damning. This book, the interview that he did just in an hour about the book, you listen to that and you will see Fauci in a whole new light. And I mean, and you probably didn't like him to begin with, neither did I. But once you listen to this, you will realize this guy needs the death penalty. I'm not even saying, well, try him in the court of law. And listen, try it, do all that legal stuff. But when he's found guilty, this is a guy, if the death penalty was made for anybody, it was made for this guy. And I don't love the state being in charge of that. So the anarchist in me says, so, but man, I think the tables are turning on these people. We're starting to see cracks in the facade right there. I think Fauci will be thrown to the wolves in 2022. That's my prediction. I hope that happens. Same with the CDC's Rochelle Walensky, that crazy-eyed weirdo. She's being exposed. Her lies aren't working. People are starting to, we're starting to see a lot of people drop dead. Funny, no politicians though, right? Isn't that interesting? Oh, wait, I know why. Because who got the exemptions from the vaccine? The White House? Congress? CDC employees? FDA employees? Moderna employees, Pfizer employees, Johnson & Johnson, are you starting to get the picture? Anybody that is involved in the manufacturing, distribution, and laws, well, I don't even know if they're laws, dictates, let's just call them, requiring vaccinations are all magically exempt. Isn't that interesting? Except you aren't. And except the military isn't, and the firefighters aren't, and the police and the teachers, those people, good luck to you, right? But all of the important people, they've got waivers. They don't have to get that. Isn't that interesting? But let's speculate here, since we are talking about predictions. I've got a prediction for you. I got a prediction that I hope happens. And that is that some really smart hackers go after these vaccine passports and they just screw them all up. However that works, I'm not a hacker. I can barely even run my own computers. So I'm certainly not going to be at the forefront of this, but I get the feeling that there's going to be some, you know, white hat hackers out there that are like, you know what I want to do with my cool computer skills? I want to see if I can break these vaccine passport codes and get in there and turn their whole software system into gibberish. Let's see if I can do that. See if I can melt their whole system. I hope that happens. I think that people are starting to realize something, that we've been calling them vaccine passports, but you're going to need to remove that word vaccine from them, because these are just going to be passports. These are going to be movement passports. They're going to be they're going to just be your digital ID. It'll be your digital ID, your social credit score, your vaccine history, everything that is sort of about you will be tied in through this digital ID, and it's not a good thing. So to see this transition from vaccine passports into just life passports, I think that you're going to wake up some of these hackers that are going to get out there. And and start to take matters into their own hands. I certainly hope that's the case. Let's move on from COVID because everybody's kind of burnt out on it. But let's go on to society, right? Let's just look at society in general. Where's society going to go in 2022? Oh man, I'll tell you, at the rate we're going right now, it's not looking good, right? We have Hollywood continues to get woke, but they also continue to go broke, which is nice to see. Everything that goes woke turns to shit. I've heard that on the internet. I've been reading that on like Twitter and everything. It's so true though. There's something about that ideology that just is incompatible with most regular, normal human beings. They just aren't into it. And I'm not saying that that makes them bigots or anything like that. And nobody's out there persecuting all these people. Just the idea that you're being forced to apologize for your whiteness it's embarrassing, frankly. It's very weird. But Hollywood is driving a huge part of this, and they're being punished for it. Rightly so, too. The ratings are down across the board. Nobody's interested in this stuff. And yet here we are. We keep seeing it. So perhaps you saw the news recently that one of the producers of the 007 franchise said that it's possible that 007 will go non-binary in the future movies. Yeah. Okay. That's great. Please do that. Please do that. It will be the last James Bond movie ever made. I love that the Ian Fleming, the creator of it, was like a MI6 spy, you know? Yeah, I'm sure that James Bond's big concern is what everybody's pronouns are as he's kicking them in the nuts and shooting them in the head with a gun or launching missiles from his Aston Martin. I'm sure he's really concerned about whether everybody is having their pronouns respected. It's just dumb. It's just dumb, really. It's not anything that I get too like mad about, but just to watch this society do all this stuff, these really, I don't know, like cucky sort of behavior, like where have you noticed that the commercials they've removed white people from most ads. I don't care one way or the other. It's just kind of an observation. And as a marketing major, it strikes me as being kind of a dumb one that, like, you know, really what you should do if you want to think about this from like a strategic standpoint is you find out what the ethnic makeup is of the country and you find out what the percentage is. Let's say it's like 56% white and 22% Hispanic. I'm just making these numbers up, but whatever. And then you tailor the number of people that you put in your commercials based on maybe that, right? So you don't take all of the white people out if they represent more than 50% of the population that you're trying to advertise to, probably be a good idea to have them in there. But once you have them in there at the proportion in which they are represented in real life, maybe that's an idea, but what the fuck do I know, right? What do I know? Get woke, go broke, continue to have non-binary people in your Taco Bell commercials and just see exactly how well that works out for you. You will be punished. You will be punished with your stock price. You will be punished. You will be punished, but who cares? I'm going to go out on a very flimsy limb here and say that the social media companies are going to continue to be to purge people, and that it is probably realistic for me to say that I will not be on Twitter at this time next year, just because I think that they're going to get rid of me. But while I'm there, you can follow me at Macroaggression on Twitter. And then we can see. Let's do a little science experiment. We'll see how, like, you know, towards the tail end of next year, if I'm still on Twitter. If I'm on Twitter, then I was wrong. But given this new authoritarian dickhead that's replaced Jack Dorsey, I am not feeling very comfortable. Not that it really matters, you know. I mean, I'm on there just promoting the show and shit talking and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm doing calculus or anything important. I'm just in there being a pain in the butt. But it should be my right to be on there, right? I'm not advocating violence all that much. And I'm not calling out people personally anymore, or any of that stuff. So we'll see what happens. But hey, look, I think the social credit system is coming. That is one part of this tech. This is sort of a combination of like the, where we're going technologically and where we're going societally. And the social credit system is coming. It is going to be, it's going to start with like rewarding obedience. And if there's one thing we learned over the last 18 months is that there are a lot of people that are very enthusiastic about showing the state just how obedient they can be. You need them to do something, I'll be the first one to do it. I'll do it better than everybody else. Oh, you want me? Not only will I do that, I'll police my neighborhood to make sure that they're all doing it to the best of their abilities too. And if they aren't doing it, then I will burn their house down or whatever. You know what I mean? Those busybody Karens out there that are sticking their nose where it doesn't belong. That sort of reward for obedience component to the social credit score is where it will start. Because early on, it's going to be like in China with their social credit system. It's like, listen, if you have a high score and you need to rent a bicycle, you get to rent that bicycle at a much different price than somebody like me whose score would be the I don't know. What's the lowest score you can get in China in your social credit? I'm just going to say zero, right? So my score would be zero and everybody else's score, let's just say somebody else's score is a 9, which is really good. That person gets to rent the bicycle at a discounted rate. It may get to the point where that person gets to rent the bicycle and I don't. You know, they already have it set up where your score is too low, you can't get on a train and you can't fly. So that is unfortunately where things are headed with us. We're going to see climate change become the new religion. I mean, just like COVID did. The cult of COVID with their masks, their idols, their Fauci's, their artifacts, their religious trinkets, their rituals that they perform, whether that's the double pump of the hand sanitizer or the putting on of the mask or the taking off of the mask or the whatever, that where they've turned the rituals of COVID into a cult. And that is most definitely coming for climate change. We're already starting to see some overlap between them. The trust the science component will be a big factor. The social shaming part will be part of it. The trust the science, right? Trust, there'll be a Fauci, there's a Fauci component to it. There's, those things will be out there with regard to climate change. It might not all get in 2022, but we know that that's where they're pushing it. So expect that. Expect that, ESG, we did an episode about that. That's going to start rolling out. It's probably going to be slow. You'll see the media push for climate everything ramping up in 2022. Well, and that's not even so much a projection or a prediction on my part, as so much as it is just an observation of that CNN producer, not the pedophile one. Well, maybe he is, but that's not the one I'm talking about. But the CNN producer that's getting interviewed undercover from Project Veritas, and he's like, we're really going to pivot to climate change for the tail half of the year and sort of moving forward. And it's like, okay, so they've put it on their big calendar, climate change. That's where we're doing. That's their agenda. So expect it. Expect the media to do the things that they do, have been doing, same sorts of tactics. Maybe they'll improve upon them, but the same general tactics that they've used for COVID, they can just use that, take that blueprint and drop that on top of climate change and say, well, let's start the social shaming. We've got the young girl, the young autistic girl that you can't really say anything about, right? Because she's Greta, I'm talking about, she's out there talking. They did that for the first COP summit in 92 in Rio de Janeiro. They brought out the 13-year-old girl there to say how if we don't get a hold of this climate change, everybody's going to die. They brought out Naraya for the babies in the incubator thing. Whenever there's some grade A level fuckery going on, they bring in the young girl to act as the shield, because it's hard to criticize a young girl, especially one like Greta, who's like kind of on the spectrum too. It's hard to criticize them without looking like a huge asshole. But the problem is what they're saying is garbage. And they, of course, are being used as a tool by these devious people behind the scenes, because they know that the best shield is a 13-year-old girl. I think Epstein said that. Is that what Epstein says? Did that go on his tombstone? Oh my God. I think we're going to see, this is kind of piggybacking off of what I said with the real estate component, but I think we're going to start to see mass migrations out of big cities. I think people in San Francisco are just done. You've got Chesa Bowden. We just did the episode talking about woke DA weirdos. Chesa Bowden and that whole component of the DAs that are allowing crime to happen, encouraging crime to happen, that there's an expiration date on that. Like, at some point, the people just go, San Francisco's great, love it, work at Google, gotta get out. Not interested in staying here anymore. Stepped on my third needle this week. Saw a guy take a dump on the sidewalk while I was having brunch at an outside cafe. Not interested in being here anymore, right? So you're going to see that happen. It's already happening in LA. People are getting out. It's happening in San Diego. My buddy Clint over at Liberty Lockdown, he left San Diego, moved to Miami. He said, I'm out. I know a lot of people in Southern California, which is where I'm from, that have moved out. Northern California people, they're leaving. People in Portland, they're leaving. New York City, they're getting out. My buddy Tony Merkel in Philadelphia, he's saying, I think I'm ready to leave. You know, all of these people are voting with their feet. They're done. They're done with the woke nonsense. They're done with being in the big cities where you're sort of at the mercy of a governor or a mayor or whatever, or a police force that may or may not be functioning at full capacity. So there's a lot of variables there. And I think people are like, I'm better at managing responsibility than all of these politicians. I understand what works best for me. I would like to be in a place where I have a little bit more autonomy and I have a little bit more say in what I have to do, or I am doing the things in my life because I want to do them, not because I'm being forced to do them. So it's like, people are sort of governor shopping, you know, and they're looking at places like Texas and Florida and Tennessee and places and that have no state income tax and a system of government that's a little bit more laissez-faire. You do you, we'll do the bare minimum to keep this state functioning. We'll let you guys kind of make your own decisions. You're adults. That sort of mentality is appealing for a lot of people. The downside, though, is the people that leave San Francisco and then take their voting policies with them, pretending like, oh, something just must have hit San Francisco, like they got hit with an asteroid or something, and it brought all these homeless people and drug addicts and looting and all this. No. All of that is because of the politicians that you put in office. So just know that if the way that they've been voting, that's the reason. That's the reason for the problem. So if you leave one of these blue states or blue cities and you move to a red state or a red city, it is your duty and obligation to change the way you vote. Because look, you left your shithole because the politicians that you and all your buddies voted for turned it into a shithole. Don't you dare do that. Don't go to Texas or Florida and vote the way you did back home. Like, first of all, don't vote at all. But if you are voting, don't enable this insanity. Okay. You moved there for a reason. Get on board with the program. So expect mass migration out of these big cities. And also, as a sort of a byproduct of that, expect more Soros financed immigration into those big cities, right? Because he's in charge of this. I mean, he's running this operation, at least in part. So just be aware of that. This is an operation. They're trying to destroy these cities. If you're living in New York City going, yeah, it's bad, but it was, you know, it was bad in parts of the 80s and then it got better. Well, are you going to hang around for 15 years and wait for it to get better? Why? Why? Unless you absolutely positively have to, like there's something in your life that prevents you from moving. But if you have the opportunity, you owe it to yourself to and your family to be somewhere else, you know, just please be somewhere else. I think the mainstream media is going to continue to lie because that's what they do. I think their ratings are going to continue to reflect that as they implode. I think schools are going to disintegrate, that the critical race theory and the woke bullshit and it's incongruent with what parents want. People just aren't interested. They're not interested in that in their schools. And for the, you know, and God, we get the videos of like the teacher who's like, I want to, you know, I've got my Antifa flag in the back of the classroom and I have talked to my kids about becoming cultural Marxists and all this stuff. Like, get your kids out of public schools like immediately. Talk to my friend David Rodriguez. He's running the Gatto Institute. He's doing some amazing homeschooling. Like, start to reimagine the way you interact with, start to rethink how you view education and how you would define an educated person. And I think what you'll learn is that doesn't mean that they went through government schools. In fact, I think you will find that a lot of the most educated people that you know didn't go to government schools, or at least if they did, they're educated because they learned something outside of that school system. So don't treat your schools as a babysitter for your kids because you don't know who's in charge of, you know, who's babysitting them. All right, so let's move on. Let's get to geopolitics. We'll sort of run through. I hate to even talk about this and speak it into existence because, but I'm also not going to pretend like they don't have the idea for more false flags, for false flag. We've been on a bit of a false flag holiday for a little while, at least some big ones. We haven't had a real big one, but I expect that. I expect it to be a major component of 2022. I expect every false flag to happen with an AR-15. I expect everyone to be an anti-vaxxer, or at least be portrayed in the media as an anti-vaxxer, or somebody that is demanding free speech, or somebody that is demanding privacy. You know, all those things that you should probably want. You want to defend yourself. You want to not be forced into a medical decision that's against your will. You want to be able to have free speech and you want privacy. All those things, the government hates them. They don't want you to have any of those things. So what they will do is they will commit false flag terror operations, which means they will commit an act and pin it on someone else. And they will do that for a variety of reasons. But part of the reason is to demonize the people that are interested in the things that the government does not want them to be interested in. Personal protection by the use of a firearm, specifically an AR-15 type of rifle. People that do not want medical procedures conducted on them against their will, anti-vaxxers, right? Or vaccine hesitant or pro-science, I don't know, however you want to define it. People that are interested in free speech, maintaining the free speech that we currently have, though I recognize that we don't have full free speech, but at least maintaining what we currently have, but with an eye on clawing back what we used to have. And the last part is privacy. And so I would expect them to attack VPNs. I would expect them to attack Proton Mail, some sort of in anything having to do with encryption. And the justification and pretext that they'll use is, you know, only drug dealers and terrorists and money launderers need encryption. And it's like, no, that's actually not true, but that's how they'll sell it. So be on the lookout for that. Expect the rise in demonization of people that want encryption, meaning privacy, free speech, no forced medical procedures, and gun rights. Because if they can get you disarmed, injected, unable to talk, and stripped of any privacy, it's over. It's over for all of us. So, so just keep that in mind. When you see something and the first thing out of the police officer's mouth during the press conference is, well, we would have known who this guy was, but he was using an encrypted device and we weren't able to crack it. And so he went into that grocery store with the AR-15, went to the pharmacy and shot up the pharmacist and all the people there because he was an anti-vaxxer. And he was yelling, long live Alex Jones while he was doing or something like that. You know, I mean, you know, obviously I'm sort of like half joking about this, but you can see where I'm going, right? So just keep that in the back of your mind. The drums of war, boom, boom, boom. They will continue to be beaten as Russia-Ukraine is happening, or China-Taiwan, because this allows, you have to understand that with wars, because of wars, in the middle of wars, in the aftermath of wars, that is the best opportunity for massive social change. And it allows the authoritarians to crack down under the claim of patriotism and safety and all these things, right? So your rights go out the window almost immediately in these wartime situations. And it allows the government the flexibility to say, everything's totally fucked up right now. There's all these wars going on. We are going to need to temporarily ask you to remove your rights, or, you know, take your shoes off to go through these backscatter machines and to get on this airplane, whatever. All of those temporary right removals will become permanent. Just look at my example of taking off the shoes. You will have to, you know, that was just a temporary measure because, you know, 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters and blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, we're 20 years out and we're still taking our shoes off and more. So expect the drums of war to beat for Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, all of this stuff. Not because these are actual enemies, not because we really need to get involved in Ukraine, or not because we need to come to Taiwan's defense or anything, but because when there's wars going on, then it allows for sweeping changes to be made. And of course, what we're going through, what we're living through right now, and where we've been headed over the last 18 months has been a time of sweeping change, right? A case can be made that sweeping change has been made in the during and aftermath of a war, the war being on COVID, right? Another invisible enemy, just like terrorists. So expect that. I think that the internet kill switch that we've heard about, that we've been threatened with, it's sort of been, you know, in these conspiratorial corners of the internet, you know, hey, you know, they've got the internet kill switch. They can turn that thing off at any time. Then we're all fucked. Well, I think this is the year they do it. And the reason why I say that, I don't say that to be like fear mongering or anything like that. I say that because of Cyber Polygon. I say that because of the test that they ran, the simulation, you know, like the Event 201 style simulation where they tested disconnecting all devices from the internet because of a cyber attack. They called it digital COVID. And I was like, oh my God, like they're not very creative, but they want you to have that fear association. You know, the way COVID spread. Well, listen, if we get one of these devices that is, infected. I mean, you saw what an infected bat from a wet market could do. Like, what if we have an infected computer and you see how they're all connected to one another, and you watch the video on the World Economic Forum's website, and it's like the internet virus was replicating itself every 8 seconds, and it only took 12 minutes before it infected 750,000 devices and totally ruined them. And it's like, oh, so that's how you guys are going to get us next. So that's why I say it. I don't say that the internet kill switch will be tested because I'm trying to be, trying to scare people into whatever. I don't know what I would be scaring them into doing, but just be aware that they have run a simulation simulating this, and we know that they like to do that in advance of these things actually happening. So, you know, just have your, you know, have your eyes open for them. That's what I'm saying. I think surveillance technology is really going to take off. That is not a good thing for us, but we're starting to see companies that are being built out of this. Obviously, you know, companies like Palantir that Peter Thiel started and works almost exclusively. I think 97% of their revenue comes from the State Department. There have always been companies that were sort of involved in the surveillance tech, but it's now getting down to more of like a consumer level type products. And so that's not good. That definitely keep your eyes open for the normalization of the surveillance tech. Well, we've got in America towards the tail end of 2022, we're going to have what they call the midterm elections, because God damn it, we've just got to have elections all the time, right? You know, so we can be making money off of it, and MSNBC will have somebody to lie about constantly, and all that stuff. Not to say that Fox doesn't too, but MSNBC, that's their speciality. Right. So expect the voters to turn on the Democrats in the midterm election. It's this whole thing, right? It's like it just goes back and forth and back and forth. A lot of it is manufactured and sort of, you know, theater. But I think in this particular case, there is real hatred towards the Democrats for what they've been trying to do with this Build Back Better program, their rampant criminality, their blatant lies, and all of the, you know, the Joe Biden. I will never believe that Joe Biden actually won the presidency. I say that as somebody that doesn't like Trump either. I'm not trying to say I think Trump is a good guy, but there's just zero enthusiasm around Biden, Kamala Harris. And we see that it's reflected in the Let's Go Brandon, Fuck Joe Biden, and all this stuff that's out there. There's just no appeal for this guy. And I think that the Democrats will be punished in 2022. I'm not a political believer. I don't believe that the Republicans are going to come in and save the day. I just think it's just act two, you know, it's like new cast of characters come in, but the play continues. I don't think Joe Biden will make it through the end of the year. I think that they'll kill him off with COVID. How's that for a prediction? People say, you know, have a take, as Jim Rome says, have a take, don't suck. All right, here's my take. I think Joe Biden will be killed off by COVID by the end of 2022. How's that for a prediction, right? It accomplished a variety of things, right? Get rid of him because he is unpopular. I don't know what they're going to do with Kamala, but get rid of him. Blame it on the virus. Right. Then it's like, oh, shit, it's real. It even killed the president, you know. So let's let that sort of roll around. I think that the World Economic Forum is going to continue to drive the policy. I think they're going to keep pushing for the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is the blending of man with machines. It's the transhumanism agenda. I think that their plan to reduce the need for humans in society is not going well, but I don't think they have the option to abort the mission. I think they are all in on this one. So expect that actually can be a really dangerous thing too, because when they know that they've got no options, like if they ever figure out what, you know, if we ever figure out what they've done, it's over for them, right? So they sort of are pot committed, to borrow a poker term. They have put all their chips in, and they sort of need to continue this policy, this Great Reset, this Build Back Better, but it's not getting traction. It's not even getting traction within the Democrats' own party. Like, they're not even voting for it. So though I take a little bit of pleasure in seeing that the wheels kind of fall off there, I also recognize the fact that these people are dangerous. And if they feel like the wheels are starting to fall off, they're liable to do just about anything. So either way, it's a dangerous situation. I think that they want a civil war in the United States. I've never even consider the idea of a civil war in the United States until recently. But I'll tell you, it's getting more and more likely. There's just ideologically, there's just two groups of people in America. Obviously, there's more than two, but there's two main groups, and they just don't have a whole lot in common. You throw in a financial collapse, and you throw in a war in Ukraine or someplace like that, and I think that the wheels will fall off, man. And I think that if that happens and there is some sort of civil war or people start talking about states seceding and everything, it's going to get dangerous, right? But they will, in the words of Rahm Emanuel, they will never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So in the event that there is some sort of civil, let's just call it beyond civil unrest, like take the looting and burnings of 2020 and multiply that by 100, right? Where it's happening everywhere. They will use that as the pretext to authorize the United Nations to come in. And I'll tell you what, man, you know, people ask, like, what is your line in the sand? Like, what do you need to see to head for the exits of this theater, right? I'm willing to tolerate quite a bit. I'm an American. I've lived here my whole life. I've been fortunate enough to travel, so I'm not one of the Americans that's never left. I've been a lot of places in the world. Very grateful for that. If I see the United Nations, the blue helmets roll in, I'm out of here. Because you don't have to have a PhD in international relations or global policy or any of that stuff. You just need to know what happens from history standpoint. When the United Nations shows up, things get really dark. And, I think they want that. So keep your eyes open for them starting to talk about the United Nations troops coming. It would have to be an extraordinary circumstance for America to accept that. But then again, you know, before you go, well, we would never go for that. Just, I hear you. And I want to, I used to believe that and I want to believe that, but now run everything through the filter of, if I told you in 2019 what you would be doing in 2021, you would have told me that would never happen either. So just keep that in mind. These things seem insane, or like they seem like unrealistic and improbable. But we just got a crash course on how the improbable can become mandatory. And so it behooves us to recognize that just because we've been doing things a certain way for a long, long time doesn't mean that they might come in and, you know, come in and change that, change everything up. So, look, geopolitically / economically, we've got a semiconductor issue, a shortage, and Taiwan makes a lot of the semiconductors. Okay. Now, Taiwan is like a real touchy subject for China, mainland China. Taiwan does not consider themselves to be part of China. China considers Taiwan to be like part of them and they're trying to escape, right? So they have a big problem. They have a problem with each other, frankly. But Taiwan makes the semiconductors. China makes some, but Taiwan makes the majority of them. So I feel like because we've already had a semiconductor issue, we have supply chain issues, we've got, you know, a weird relationship with China, we got our ports all clogged up and all that stuff. Keep your eye on Taiwan for a couple of reasons. One, their relationship with their disintegrating relationship with China, their fragile relationship with the United States, and just how important they are for our technological society that we've built. So we've also got the Winter Olympics happening in Beijing in 2022. Oh, but don't worry, everybody. Joe Biden has announced that the administration is boycotting the games. Like, who fucking cares? Good for you. Less politicians, taking up space. We got the World Cup in Qatar later. So we've got these big important events, right? These important sporting events on the world stage. Wouldn't it be wild if you've got England versus Italy in the World Cup finals, and a guy drops dead on the field because he had taken a shot. Now that sound, if you say that in 2019, people say, well, what are the chances of that? You say it in 2021. What are the chances of that? Pretty fucking high, actually. When you've got over 100 FIFA soccer players dead or in massive cardiac problems because of this, wouldn't that be wild? So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, look, I hope that, my hope for 2022 is that things get better, things calm down, that cooler heads prevail, that we stop doing the things that we know are destructive. But I just am, you know, I go back and forth between being white-pilled and black-pilled, right? So what do they call it? Gray-pilled. I want to believe that we've got amazing things in our future. I actually think that we do, but I think that we're going to need to get through a bunch of really horrible policies, decisions, false flags, currency manipulation, supply chain manipulation. I think we're going to need to go through about another year of this horribleness before we're able to come out on the other side. But I am optimistic. There's more of us than there are of them. We want, you know, we're good people. We're on the right side of history. We're not going to be calling the police to report on our neighbors having too many cars in their driveway on Thanksgiving. We don't do that. We don't think like that. We're not dickheads like that. So there's more of us than there are of them. The agenda is not taking off. There is not a lot of enthusiasm around Build Back Better. So there are some really good signs here. But like I said, when you get an animal like the World Economic Forum, these globalist people, a cornered animal, then that becomes very dangerous. And these people are already dangerous. And if they feel like they're on some sort of time constraint where they have to get this stuff done soon before Agenda 2030, and they feel like they're behind schedule, or they feel like people are not getting on board with the plan, I worry that they're going to make people get on board with the plan. So that's where my fear comes in. My fear doesn't come in with the general public, because look, the statistics show that you only need a small percentage of society. You don't need 51% of society to all believe something for massive change to happen. You really only need like 3-5% of society to wake up and get on board with this, and then things start happening. So we keep that in mind. Look, we're coming from a place of goodness. They're coming from a place of evilness. And I think that good has, good always wins, but don't discount these people. They're horrible human beings. I hope that we can have a conversation towards the end of 2022. And I hope we can all just have a big laugh at how wrong I was about all this stuff. Man, I would love to be wrong about all of this. I want unicorns and rainbows, gummy bears and lollipops. I want all that shit. But unfortunately, I feel like we're getting... I want Santa Claus, but I'm afraid I'm going to get Klaus Schwab instead. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Hey, listen, you can connect with me at the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can take this show and share it with your friends and family. Get them to laugh at these insane predictions. We can... it's not over yet, people. You know, it's not over. Listen, I can't fight the globalists alone, right? I need your help. So get out there and support content creators that you think are doing a good job. If you like this show, you know, send it out to friends, send it out to family members. If there's other content creators that in the alternative media that you're following and you like their stuff, help to promote that too. This is the only way we're going to get these sorts of changes. So we'll see how it all turns out. I wish I were more optimistic, but I guess we'll see. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.